I know this song is going to be everywhere with it being wedding season. Amos and Basi, the song's called Izenzo on Rise of Fame Mid-Mornings. We're joined by Thuli Kakaza today as we delve deeper into the issue of colorism. Thuli, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Sure. The issue of colorism, Thuli, I don't even know where to start because I think, you know, it's something that a lot of people, I think, especially in our African community beyond South Africa, have been struggling with. And I really don't understand where it all stems from.
It's quite a very historical thing where it kind of starts. You'll find that when you look and investigate and research into this, that it has a lot to do with colonialism and the apartheid, basically, regime where certain colors were deemed better than others.
Yeah.
So in the apartheid kind of experience, it was the whites believed they were better than the blacks by virtue of complexion. We've seen it also with Jews and Hitler, right? Where lighter skin is better than the darker skin. Now, when we bring it home in terms of colorism amongst Africans, what we're saying is a lighter skin tone is more acceptable, more okay than a darker skin tone. And it's synonymized around socioeconomic success as well.
I mean, we have to talk about what this does to one's mental health when they grow up being called a certain name because of the color of their skin. You know, I think we've seen or heard a couple of people will say to a young girl, oh, you're so beautiful for a dark girl. And you wouldn't really understand, what do you mean she's beautiful for a dark girl? What does this do to
a dark girl?
What does it do to one's mental health?
Oh, totally. It does a lot. It does a lot because now growing up listening to these negative seeds of my identity at face value, and therefore where I may or may not make it in life, again, this is what, you know, the negative things that are being said in the community or by family accurately, so directly to me. What this does is it chips away at one sense of identity, one sense of self-esteem, and those are the two things we need in order to have a persona or a character and a personality. So what personality or character then am I supposed to have if I'm not even wanted here by virtue of how I look?
Sure.
So definitely mentally then naturally you're going to, you know, there's going to be a lot of struggle around anxiety when meeting different groups where you're not already accepted. There's going to be anxiety and depression also possibly highly likely because, you know, the children are mean. Children are very mean.
Yeah.
And being bullied at school around, you're so dark when I look at you, you look like a tire or whatever, you know, these are things that children say, by the way. So things like that, bullying, the exposure to bullying will exacerbate high anxiety, increases potential of suicide ideation and risk, as well as therefore high levels of depression are often aligned to such.
I mean, one thing, you know, Thuli, when the community is saying all of these things, but even when your own family is saying these things to you, it's so hurtful. So what strategies can parents use to recognize their own biases and ensure all children feel equally loved, supported, and valued, regardless of skin color?
So one of our biggest hurdles, Dorothy, is that we are not ready as an African community to talk about how offensive some family members can be. And the best way as a parent you can defend your child is by setting boundaries and standards around what is acceptable and not acceptable to be said to your child. It has a lot to do with also one's own ability to accept where they are in the child that they have and love them unconditionally, regardless of how they look. You know, for those of us who have siblings, none of us look like each other, whether it's around complexion or identity, character or behavior. it starts with when a parent, how you treat your child, and also what you're allowing your child to be consuming in terms of what's being said to them, what you allow to be said to them, and not standing up and defending them. So as parents, more than anything, it's about showing your child that they are loved and accepted in the home, so that no matter what happens outside of their home, they know that here at home, mom and dad care about me, they love me, and I'm accepted here, and they are building on my self-esteem and my sense of identity and integrity.
You know, you said something about kids being bullies in this day and age, and it just broke my heart. How do we better shield our children when there's a society that has so many standards on colorism, on how we're supposed to act, look? Is there even a way to shield our kids?
Shield is going to be a tough one, but it starts with how the school culture. What's acceptable and not acceptable in the school?
Mm-hmm.
Bullying is something that has gone to a point where it's even in our act around crime and child protection, as well as even it's illegal, basically by law. If it can be proved, you can be prosecuted for such and penalized by law for such, for one. Secondary to which, the schools need to have a strong culture, the communities thereafter too, because schools are a sample of the community from where the children come.
Ooh.
The children that we're seeing behaving in very dysfunctional and rude ways of interaction and engagement, they're learning that from somewhere. And where is that somewhere? It's us in the community.
Absolutely.
It's about how we are speaking around our children, what we're exposing them to, what we're saying about other children around our children. So your children are good enough, but everybody else's kids are not.
Mm.
Children are paying attention, they're learning, and they are mimicking that behavior. It's like the notion of racism. It's something that is taught. Children are not born with a certain perspective that dark is better than black, than light, or light is better than dark.
Yeah.
It's something that they learn through society. So it actually starts with us, the grown-ups. And if the children are not exposed to such negativity, but there's love and acceptance in the community, they will mimic that behavior in these academic spaces as well.
Tuli, let's park it here for today. Such an important and sensitive conversation we had. But for anybody who may be listening and feeling like they may need some help when it comes to the conversation that we had today, where can they contact you?
I'm accessible on Psychology Today. You can look for Tuli Kakaza on Psychology Today. Alternatively, you can send me an email on tuliconsult@gmail.com or send me a WhatsApp on 069-622-2902. Thank you so much.
It's Rise FM Mid-Mornings. Very important conversation we had today. Definitely, you will find it on Rise Rewind, risefm.co.za. Good morning.
As a responsible broadcast citizen, Rise FM is committed to programming that is entertaining and uplifting, news that is accurate, and comment that is fair. We avoid anything that could be harmful to children, amount to hate speech, or contain gratuitous violence or explicit sex. To underline this commitment, we are signatories to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa's Code of Conduct. If you believe we are not adhering to that code, you can inform the BCCSA. Simply visit bccsa.co.za for more information about how to lodge your complaint. Rise FM, Mpumalanga, Azishe.